Hello, good morning. Welcome to the new course, Security as Continuous Improvement. Today we will have a whole day of teaching, and then we will have in May two days. So today we have the 14th of April, and that's the materials for today. Then we will have classes 12th and 13th of May, and we will have classes 18th and 19th of May. The setup of the Frontier course is similar to what you saw in the course Security Management Dynamics. So you see above short introduction as to the course. Then you have about the resources, the literature, course requirements, modeling software. We will continue using Vensim. My goal is not to make you professional modelers. That's not the purpose of the course, but the modeling with Vensim helps you two things. One is to recognize the most important elements in some problem. That's what the model does. It represents what is the essence, the core of the problem. And then in the exercises where you use Vensim, this requires that you act accurately and critically and precisely. And this is a very good quality that you can use in your professional work, no matter what you are doing. Okay. Otherwise, I will continue as before. The materials that you need, they are preliminary found in the materials in Frontier. There is some literature which I put in here that can help you go deeper into the stuff if you are interested. This is not absolutely required. It can be helpful. As to the course evaluation, we will continue in the same way. We will have multiple choice exams. And we will have projects. The dates are here. The first project will start the 4th of May, from the 4th to the 8th of May, and then Friday, 8th of May, at 8 hours, we'll have a multiple choice exam. And there will be a second project running from 1st of June to 5th of June with a multiple choice exam 5th of June. You know the procedure, and I will follow it in a similar way. As to the grading for the previous course, Security Management Dynamics, as I said, as I wrote to you in the emails, the external examiner has sent the sheets duly signed here to Jovic, and I hope I find them today in my mailbox, so I will sign myself and pass it to the examination office. Okay, so let's start with today's class. Here you see the content of the various materials that I am going to use. There is a lecture and there are some exercises. And as activities, the lecture, there will be possibilities for also for discussions. For those of you that who are external students, you can always engage using the questions and folders questions and answers folder, which you see here. And we will have a number of exercises where we will use also Vensim, and I will coach you through the exercises. Okay, so the first materials that you should look at is the materials about the security and quality improvement processes, which gives you an overview of the course. And this is this. I am not going to read this aloud for you. This is intended to be a background material for you to give an opportunity to get an overview, overall information of what the course is. I start with the motivation, and this is the well-known archetype that I have used several times that shows the quandary, the problem that many companies face, many organizations face, many institutions face, and that is that they have as a main purpose to deliver some services or some products. Let's call it the throughput of the company. So basically what the company is doing, it is putting some resources. Investment doesn't necessarily mean only putting money. It means the resources they have, the materials they have, the staff they have, the knowledge they have, so as to achieve the throughput. And the more they invest of these resources, the more throughput you will be get, which is this polarity here. In return, this throughput will allow the company, the organization, the institution to continue investing resources. So the intended consequence feedback loop is a focus on growth. It is reinforcing. The problem is that by this strong motivation to create throughput, often security doesn't get sufficient attention. So there is a delayed effect whereby this focus on throughput, this almost exclusive focus on throughput, will gradually and sometime delayed diminish the security of the company. Security is in the shade. And as a consequence, this will lead to less throughput. So you have a balancing loop, security in the shade, that is an unintended consequence of the primary focus on growth. This is difficult to see. There are many reasons for that. Part of it is because the senior management often is not aware, sufficiently aware, of the need for security. They have some understanding of it, but it is not deep enough. It is not good enough that they can anticipate and know how much it's needed and also how important it is to continuously improve the security. It is not sufficient to establish some solutions and then forget it, simply because we have an arms race whereby the potential exploiters will improve their methods, the tools, and launch subtle attacks. Every company is a potential target, whether it is because competitors want to weaken it or because there are possibilities for extortion, for stealing, for getting hold of the company sensitive information, and so on and so on. So there is a barrier to understanding this for those who don't have sufficiently deep knowledge of security. And there is also the problem that it is very difficult to quantify, to ascertain in advance how much you have to invest in security. So all this is summarized in the idea that there is a boundary, there is something that makes it difficult for those making decisions at the top of the company to see through and make the right decisions concerning security. So basically what we want to do in this course is to provide you the means to argue for the need to have these two ideas in mind. One is to consider directly how to improve the company, and the other one indirectly to allocate sufficient security resources so that security can be improved, and then you get to counteract the negative balancing loop security in the shade. You get a reinforcing loop. More investment leads to more security resources, to more security, improving the throughput, and aiding the possibility to reinvest. So this is a reinforcing feedback loop, security for growth sakes, that supports the primary reinforcing loop focused on growth and counteracts the break that can be caused by the balancing loop securing the shade. So since this is a dynamic situation, all these feedback loops you can consider as wheels turning around all the time. You have to lead the investment at some time, lead to some improvement of throughput some time later, which allows you to reinvest some time later. So this is dynamic, and similarly this feedback loop is dynamic. The throughput at some time will some time later as a negative consequence impair the security, which at some time later it will reduce the throughput. So all this is going over time, and similarly the reinforcing loop security for growth's sake, investing now on security resources will lead to more security resources later, to improve the security even later, and to improve the throughput a bit later, and then to reinvest. So even when you don't see strong marked time delays, because of the fact that this is going over time and needs some time to have effect, so all the time you have at least small delays, sometimes very big delays. So you have to continuously reinvest on security resources, which means you have continuously improve security. This is the main message of this archetype. Now, this has been recognized, and in fact the ISO family of standards relating to security was modeled or was designed based on understanding of quality improvement. Quality improvement was a strong movement that originated about 100 years ago, first in terms of statistical analysis of the effects in production, and then as to making samples to see how many defects that we are produced, defective products that we are produced, so as to then detect what was going wrong and improve. This was later extended not only to products but also to services. And over the time, a strong discipline of quality improvement was developed. And one can say that no organization, no company today can ignore the need to dedicate resources to quality improvement and to process improvement. So when security was incorporated in the family of standards that started about 20 years ago, the model was to adapt quality improvement for security, because security is also no security means more problems. So decreasing quality, and more security means improving the quality. And the security standards recognize the need us with quality improvement to continuously improve. Now, why do we in this course, as in the previous one, adopt modeling with system dynamics as a tool, as a method? You can read here these pages that tell you about some history of using system dynamics in quality improvement and in security. And this is a long history and it is increasing. You can see that, for instance, now in that quite recently, I haven't put it in writing here, but I will, a consortium where I am the security coordinator has got a big grant from the European Commission, from the Horizon 2020 program called Secure Societies. And in that one, my group will be using system dynamics for modeling the challenges and to develop solutions. The advantage of using system dynamics is that you can create, you can design systems digitally before you do that in reality. By doing that digitally, first of all, you invest much less resources and you are much faster. Developing a system dynamics model by some professionals is a question of weeks or a few months, and then it costs typically less than 1% of doing that in reality. And then you can explore the system, make what-if analysis, see whether it works, discover how best to design it. So in the end, without investing a lot and testing in practice and seeing perhaps that it crashes, you have simulated and discovered potentially good solutions at a very reduced cost. So the idea with modeling is the ability to design solutions, which requires that you have to think to them and perhaps understand issues that you haven't understood before, or detect aspects that need more consideration, need more data, need more solutions. And in this way, aid the construction and the design of good and secure systems. So then I refer to this document here. I suggest that you read it. It describes also the way the materials for this course are organized, and I give you quite many references. Not that you are in need of looking at all these references, but perhaps you will discover that some of them are quite useful. As to questions, you can interact with me both in class by raising your hand or by sending me emails. If some of you would like to connect with me in real time, we can do that via Skype. My Skype name My Skype name is JSJLCGN. It's a complex name, but the problem with Skype is there are millions and millions of users. So if I would put my name Jose, then I will be hearing that there are already 1 million, well, not 1 million, but perhaps tens of thousands with Jose 1, Jose 2, Jose and so on. So what I did here is I have chosen the first two consonants in my first name, the first two consonants in my second name, the initials in the middle name, and the first two consonants in my surname. So there is some logic to this name. But anyhow, if you want to connect with me by Skype, simply send me an invitation that allows us the possibility to conduct a conversation while and get your questions during the lecture. Okay? So let's now go to the first lecture, Modeling Security as Continuous Improvement Process. Which you find in Fronto. The overview of this is I will first discuss the improvement paradox. Then we will resolve the paradox using a system dynamics model of process improvement. Then I will show you how simulations work. And we will apply these models to information security. So what is the improvement paradox? The improvement paradox related to quality improvement is that historically a lot of money is invested in quality improvement processes. For instance, already in 1997, so that's by now 18 years ago, more than 100 billions of dollars were invested in the US annually. 100 billions. A billion in English means the same as milliarder in Norwegian. So 100 billions of dollars, with the dollar in the order of 6, 7, 8 crowns, is like 800 billions of Norwegian crowns per year. 800 milliarder kroner per hour. And that was a long time ago, and it has been increasing. The reason why I'm going back to 1997 is because the seminal studies to address the improvement paradox, they date from the 90s and beginning of the year 2000. Still, they are very much, not so very much has changed in this respect. So the main conclusion was, in several very critical studies, that few of these investments actually were leading to significant results. Significant results meaning that the quality improvement programs really yielded what they were supposed to do. In many cases, you didn't see much effect. In some effects, in some cases, you saw even the opposite effect. It was discovered that only about 10% of the 1,000 leading organizations and companies in the world, according to the magazine Fortune, did have well-developed total quality management programs. TQM, Total Quality Management Programs, which is a name for any kind of quality improvement. So in practice, you have different doctrines, different systems and so on to improve qualities, like Six Sigma or quality circles or whatever you call them. The total name for them is Total Quality Programs. So less of 10% of the largest companies in the world, according to the listing in Fortune, did have good quality improvement programs. And it was found that the majority of the senior managers in these companies, they were actually skeptical toward quality improvement programs. At the same time, they were practicing ideas and doctrines that were negative for the organization. They were counteracting the improvement. So this is a paradox. A paradox is when you are getting a situation which defies logic. And it defies logic so much because when you study carefully what happens in organizations that succeed in developing a good quality or process improvement program, these companies tend to be much better than their competitors. That makes the paradox very big, because it is well documented that process and quality programs, when they are really well done, they are extremely effective. They help the company to be much better than the competitors. On the other hand, few of these programs succeed in practice. They seem to be difficult to be implemented, and many senior managers have lost the faith in quality and process improvement programs. So this demands a solution to understand the reason for this paradox. And that's what happened at MIT. To resolve the paradox, a group of professors at MIT, Nelson Ripeni was one, John Sturman was another, and they had associate professors and PhD students. They spent about 10 years to look at how process improvement programs and organizational learning programs were conducted in different organizations. So they conducted about a dozen of very detailed, of in-depth studies in different branches in the United States. So they look at the automobile industry, the chemical industry, the oil industry, even recreational products, semiconductors, telecommunications, and others, because they had about 12 studies. And the way they did it is that they visited the organizations just to observe, to conduct interviews with data mining, to look at the records, to conduct measurements and so on. And based on the information that they got from all sources, they develop simulations using system dynamics, so as to be able to, first of all, to create the structure of causes and effects that represented what was going on, which requires a very deep understanding and with and detailed knowledge that they obtained through these activities. And when they had the system dynamics models, they were able to explore what was going on and see what was going wrong And in the case of the processes that were going well, they could then understand what was the reason that they were going well. After all these studies, Repenning and Sturman published a famous article with a very interesting title, "Nobody Ever Gets Credit for Fixing Problems That Never Happened." This title, it was not their invention, it was an answer they got from a process manager in one organization, where he, in a sense, revealed the sad situation for those who are doing it well. If you are a good process management engineer and you are doing your job, the problems do not occur, and then the senior management doesn't notice that you are there because everything is going smooth. People tend to recognize more those who come when there is a crisis and solve the crisis than those that prevent the crisis from occurring, which is one of the big paradoxes that we have. So let's understand, let's reproduce the model by Repenning and Sturman so as to see what is the core, what is the problem. Something went wrong here. So let's start by building up a simple system dynamics model, which is the model that Repenning and Sturman presented in the paper. And this paper is, by the way, available in Fronter. So we start by looking at the performance of some process in some organization. So the organization needs to do something. So let's look at their performance. The performance is influenced by two factors. It depends on how much time that is spent working on the process, and it depends on the capability of the process to do that work. So a process has a high capability if it's effective in leading to the actual performance. A process has a low capability if it is performing badly because the process is not so well designed. So you have these two factors. One, how good the process is, the capability of the process. And the other one, how much time the process is running, or how much time the workers are working with that process. And both are influence links with positive polarity. The more time you spend working, other things being equal, the higher the actual performance is, the higher the capability of the process, other things being equal, the higher the actual performance. So starting like this, we see that we have two options to improve. To improve the actual performance, you can work more, or you can improve the capability of the process that you are using. Okay? Now, there's a big difference between these two approaches: time working, working more, or improving the work. You can increase the time spent working immediately by working harder, and then you see the results immediately. As to you, for instance, if you want to improve in this course, you can work more time, spend more time on reading, spend more time on doing exercises, and then you will see the results immediately. But this has some limits. You see immediately, but it has limits. The limits are related to the fact that we have limited time. If you are working, say on this course, just to give an example, 4 hours per week, then you can work 8 hours per week. You could work 16 hours, 16 hours per week, but sooner or later you find the limits because time has to be divided in all the things that you have to do. The day has only 24 hours. You need to sleep, you need to eat, you need to relax and so on. So you cannot increase the time working beyond limits. However, if you want to boost capability, this is a different story. And you notice now the change from the previous slide. In the previous slide, we acted as if capability was a variable or a factor of the same kind as the time spent working. In reality, it is not. Capability is a stock. Capability is something that you can build up gradually, and once you have it, it will stay for a while. So in reality, the way to model this is that capability is a resource that you can build up by investment, and that can decrease over time by erosion because things start becoming less good, or because the world is moving and the capability that you had before is not good enough as compared to the demands of today. But in order to improve this capability, you have to invest. You have to put in time. And when you put in time, I mean the time is not, it has to be taken from the time that is available in the organization. And in addition, you have to put in, of course, money and brains and so on. And this time spent on improvement will not lead to an investment in capability immediately. There will be some time delay because it is a process of invention, of innovation, of discovery, the improvement of processes. That's not something that you can do off the shelf. You cannot read in a book, that's the way we will improve our processes so that we become the leading company in this area. So each company, in a sense, has to do research, has to be inventive, has to innovate so as to improve the capability of the processes. So it doesn't give you results immediately, but it does yield sustainable improvement that can be reused. Once you have discovered the wheel, then the discovery is there. And now you can move faster and with less effort forever. So each invention, each innovation adds to our pool of capabilities that have led to our society becoming extremely effective. Like when Ford changed the way of producing cars. At that time you had one guy or several guys working on each car. And then he invented the production line whereby the cars in production were passed people and they were doing each of them some particular work on the production line. That was a discovery, improving the capability of the production of cars, and that changed the world completely. No more the cars were produced the old way. But capability needs to be renewed and maintained. Errors can creep in, or the world changes so that the whole effectivity and capability no longer is effective as it was before. Okay? Now, continually the thinking or the design of the model, how does a manager make decisions as to how to improve the performance of a process? Well, typically the way they do that is that they measure the performance of the process with some goal, with some target, which we call the desired performance. So by comparing the desired performance with the actual performance, they discover there is a gap that needs to be addressed. So now you have the situation, if you have a gap like this, what decision should you make? What are you supposed to do? And here is the crucial division where the difference between the two approaches spent more time on working, spent more time on improvement arises. And this we will take after the break. We will continue at 10 o'clock.